Welcome to a new episode of PMCA Research Chat. I'm your host and PMCA Research Chair, Eric Schmoyer, from Barrichello. Our objective is to form and educate our listeners on current and previous research committee-funded topics and personalities. Please subscribe and like us on your podcast service. Check us out at PMCA.com, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. In our first series of podcasts, we're focusing on some of our academic advisors. Joining me today is Dr. Silvana Martini. Dr. Martini is a professor in the Department of Nutrition, Dietetics, and Food Science at Utah State University. She received her BS in biochemistry from the National University de La Plata in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where she also received her PhD in chemistry. She did her postdoctorate work at the University of Guelph and went on to Utah State. Please welcome Dr. Martini. Thank you so much for joining us. That's quite a trip from Argentina to Utah State. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself in Logan, Utah?
Sure, of course. Thank you, Eric, for that introduction. That's great. So I was born and raised in Argentina, and I did all my education in Argentina. As you said, I got a bachelor's degree in biochemistry and then a PhD in chemistry. And during my studies, I always wanted to have an experience, an international experience, to do research. And during my PhD studies, I spent about total 2 months in Dr. Rich Hartel's lab doing research. And then when I did my PhD, I had the opportunity to first do a short postdoc at the University of Buenos Aires under Dr. Lydia Herrera's supervision, and then moved to University of Guelph under Dr. Alex Marangoni's supervision. And being in Canada, I kind of liked the idea of staying in North America, and I started looking for a job. And I saw an opportunity at Utah State and applied for the job, and they hired me. So that's how I ended up in Utah.
Nice. So when did you decide to pursue a career in food science?
Well, in Argentina, it's kind of funny because when I went to school, there weren't too many schools that did food science as a bachelor's degree. And I didn't even know that food science existed. But in my biochemistry degree is more kind of a chemistry oriented degree. I have a minor in chemistry as well. But during the last year of my bachelor's degree, I had a course. I took a course that it was basically food science, and attached to the university where I went to, there was a research institute that did research on food science. And one of the professor that taught that class was a researcher in that institute. And I really liked the course. I fell in love with the course. And, before I graduated with the bachelor's degree, I asked her if I could volunteer in her lab as an undergrad student. And she welcomed me in her research group. And then I decided to move on into a PhD degree.
That's interesting. You're not the first academic advisor we've interviewed who, in that situation, said, I didn't even know there was a food science program.
Exactly.
And they ended up in it.
Yeah. Just once you know that food science exists, you just can't leave it, right?
Right. Oh, I push friends of mine, their kids are getting ready to graduate high school. What should I go into? Go into food science. There's always a job anywhere. That's what I tell them.
That's great.
So how is your experience lined up with your expectations?
They were very good. I kind of come with that from a different background. So probably my expectations were a lot different from what I'm doing these days, right? I started, my PhD was very basic science in terms of food science. I studied crystallization of waxes. So very, very basic research topics. And when you're a student, you're new, you really don't know what the applications too much of your research is until you get more into your program. And then really doing a postdoc and also being hired as a professor, it kind of opens your mind about the different areas that are out there, more applied sides, and what the needs of the industry really are, and trying to focus your focus your research a little bit more towards what the needs are and trying to fulfill those gaps that are out there, not only for the industry, but also from the academic point of view. So really, I think for me was a transition from going, you know, I want to know what molecules do from the basic point of view, just because it's fun, to, you know, what are the applications? How can I help people? How can I help the industry? And at the same time, learn about the basic science on it.
How do you make the transition from basic food science to confectionery?
So I work with fats and oils. So pretty cool stuff. And that's one of the things that I, you know, from going to conferences, you learn that fats play a very important role in confectionery, you know, chocolate-based confectionery. And to me, that was fascinating. And the more I learn about chocolate, for example, the more excited I got about it. And not only the cocoa butter in the chocolate, but also the interaction between cocoa butter and cocoa butter equivalents or fillings, you know, how can you decrease the oil migration in a filling so that you improve the quality of your chocolate. So that relationship, and that's so related to basic science, right? So decreasing oil migration is a huge basic science problem, that it has to do with how the molecules interact and how, whether they form eutectics or not. And to me, that is fascinating, being able to merge both the applied part and the basic research part.
That sounds an awful lot like Dr. Richard Hartel there.
I know, but without the sugar. I'm not a sugar expert, but that's why I spent a lot of time in his lab. He was really good at welcoming me during my PhD program. And it was really, it was a very good experience to be in his lab. It was great.
How do you find yourself involved with the student advisor situation?
Well, you know, when you become a professor, you have to, you know, work with students all the time. I mean, that's your working force. And something that was very new to me was interacting with undergrad students. So here at Utah State University, we have a very small food science program, which is great because you get a lot of interaction with the students. We recruit students to work in the lab right away. Since their freshman year, so they get hands-on experiences, they get involved in real projects in the labs, and I think that's, and to see them grow throughout the years, both the undergrads and grad students, to me is amazing. To me, it's the most rewarding part of mentoring students, to see how they change, and how they start being students with no experience at all, and then suddenly in a few years, they, you know, they're great, they're independent, they know what they're doing, they're confident, they can talk about their research, they start doing their own networking, they start meeting their own, have their own professional network around them. So it's great. And that's how I got involved with advising, just by advising both undergrad students, master's and PhD students.
That's interesting. As you're talking about that, I'm thinking of the transition we see at PMCA in students, from when they first walk in with a topic to the final end where they're actually given a presentation, and just the change in them, confidence level. It's truly amazing.
It's great. I think I really like that. And it's, you know, I have a student that now, he started as an undergrad student in my lab, and then he did a master's with me, and now he's in charge of the chocolate factory here on campus. And I'm telling him, you're like my, you know, my little son, academic son, you know, because I saw him all the way through. He's one of the few that I've seen him all the way from the undergraduate that stuck with me all the way onto his professional career. So it's awesome. It's great.
Well, since you mentioned it, can you talk a little bit about your chocolate lab in there?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, we have a brand new chocolate factory, we call it, but it's really a small processing plant where we can process chocolate all the way from bean to bar. So the plant was created to support our teaching course. I teach a course on chocolate science every fall that is a general ed class, so it's open to all students at Utah State. And you know, students during the first couple of years wanted to have some sort of labs, hands-on experience, some laboratory exercises. So we approached the Dean of the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, and he supported our new project of creating a bean-to-bar plant. So the idea is to use these facilities for teaching, research, and outreach. And also on the way, we make our own chocolate bars that we sell to the community, and also different sort of pastries and cakes that we make with our own chocolate.
So if I can pivot back to research in particular, is there any piece of research that's given you serious personal satisfaction?
Oh yeah, all research, first of all, is great. I'm a research addict. I love doing research, and I love finding new results and new questions, right? I mean, every time you think you finish a research project, you have more questions than answers. Over the last, I would say, 10 years that I've been with Utah State, more like 14 that we've been doing serious research, we've been working with ultrasound, high intensity ultrasound. And we've been using this technology to change the crystallization behavior of fats. So basically by applying ultrasound, we induce the crystallization, we generate smaller crystals, which results in harder materials and more elastic materials. And this is particularly interesting for fats that have no trans fatty acids and are low in saturated fatty acids. You know, these healthy fats, the problem in quotation marks that they have is that they're very soft, right? So we need other technologies to generate structure, to generate hardness and elasticity in these materials so that we can apply them in different applications, including confectionery. And so ultrasound does that, right? If you have a fat with about 35, 32% of saturated fats with no trans, and we apply ultrasound, we can generate a material that is a lot harder and has smaller crystals, a lot more elastic, and it has a lot less oil migration, which is in particular for confectionery, is a huge advantage that to have a fat that doesn't have, that can retain the oil in the crystalline network. So that's one of the areas that we've been working quite a bit, and we've been very successful at receiving funding from the federal government, from the USDA, and we're just starting a new grant that was awarded earlier this year, now in August, with a new student. So we're very excited about that. So those are really cool results that we get.
That's interesting with regard to the impact on shelf stability.
Yes, it's amazing. And the project that we're just starting is going to be focused mainly on oil migration. So the last part of the project, this is a four-year-long project. And the last part, we're going to actually do some fillings for confectionery. And we're going to evaluate the bloom of the chocolate layer on these sonicated fats. So we're very excited. We're hoping to get pretty good results. I have hope.
So I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole, but it's interesting to me because I'm thinking the tighter you can make that crystal matrix, the smaller you can make them, the less capillary action you're mm-hmm. going to have. So it may minimize the need for, say, a milk fat in a dark chocolate to minimize the migration.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah, that's what we're hoping to get.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
Has any piece of research taken you off in a completely different direction than your initial goal?
Well, you know, all this ultrasound part, I have probably two areas. So one is when I got hired by Utah State, I was hired to teach sensory evaluation, and I started doing research on sensory evaluation and trying to connect sensory perception with fats and type of fats and content of fats. So that's something that I never thought I would do because I wasn't very familiar with sensory techniques. So, and I really enjoy doing sensory and trying to get those relationships between fats and sensory. The second one is this ultrasound project that, you know, we know after almost 15 years working with ultrasound in fats, we know what are the changes that we get. more or less, but we really don't know too much about the mechanisms behind the effects that we see. So I ended up to trying to understand a little bit better the physics and the basic events or mechanisms or mechanisms that occur during sonication. I ended up collaborating with a professor in the UK. He said that he's an expert in what we call bubble dynamics and ultrasound. And another professor here at Utah State, he's a mechanical engineer professor that also he's an expert on formation of bubbles in materials, which is what happens when you sonicate a sample. And we've done this great collaboration where we are starting to understand a little bit better what's going on in our sonicated samples and how those bubbles are generated during sonication are affecting the crystallization behavior. So really cool collaboration that we hope to continue, but that is way out of my expertise. So I never thought that I would be collaborating with a chemist physicist from the UK and an engineer from here from Utah State. So it's pretty cool research.
Wow. Is there any subject that you'd love to investigate but haven't had the opportunity?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'd probably like to get more into really the confectionery side and more in link more the research, the basic research to the applied one. I really like to get that going and get more of that connection with chocolate production, really.
Yeah, I asked that question because we're always trying to come up with topics that are applicable to the membership, mm-hmm. but out on that sciencey end, if you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
All right, let's delve into the next section, which is funding. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how funding works at your institution? I ask this because, the variety of schools we work with, there seems to be some differences, and as an organization, we're trying to make sure we're getting the right amount of money to the right people for the right purposes, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So basically, we have three sources of funding here at Utah State. I would say four. One is private, that would be companies. Second is state, from the state of Utah. Third would be internal, which would be money that the university gives away. And I'll talk about each one a little bit more. And the fourth one is federal, right? So private industry is probably not very common in my area, at least in my program here in food science at Utah State. Although we do have a very good program based on dairy, it's called the Build Dairy Program, in which a lot of dairy companies from the western states donate money to train grad students in dairy. Right. So we professors at Utah State and other universities in the western states can apply for grants based on the needs of these companies. And we can recruit students that have to be from the western states. And we do research. So that's a very good source of private funding that we have. Then each professor might have their contacts and specific projects with specific companies. So that's private. State, we have a few states opportunities through extension mainly. And then, for example, last year I got a grant from the state of Utah to upscale my ultrasound technology. So they are more interested, this specific program is more interested in commercial opportunities of research projects or ideas. And again, it's not super common to get grants from the state of Utah that is not extension. The third one is local, internal from Utah State. And these are great sources of funding. It's not a lot of money, but it helps us professors collect preliminary data to submit grants to the federal agencies. So really federal agencies are the ones that provide most of our funding and the big bucks, right? I mean, you can have with a federal funding like USDA, you can have a 3-year project or a 4-year project where you can fund, you know, one or two grad students. So those are the nice and fat, let's put it that way, grant that everybody wants. But really most of these, when to get a proposal funded by USDA, you need quite a bit of preliminary data in general. So Utah State has a really good program, a few programs actually, where you can submit a grant and say, okay, I want to submit this new idea to USDA, but I need preliminary data. I need some money. So they're usually very good at providing that to get us started, right? And it's usually a short, maybe a year and a half. So it's not too much money.
What do you see as being the major benefits in collaborating with industry organizations such as PMCA?
Oh, to me is the connection again, right? The connection between application and basic research, right? I mean, I love talking to companies because they tell me what their problem is, right? And I say, oh yeah, maybe, and it sparks my brain. I say, well, maybe we can do this or we can do that. Or maybe they tell me, oh, that's not going to work. Or I think that talking with companies is what makes research great, because we both feed from each other, right? I really enjoy talking to companies to know what their problems are and where should we be focusing on, right? Even if it doesn't result in a collaboration, but just to know, okay, where is my next proposal going? Because I know that this is a problem from the industry and I heard it from different producers.
Where do you see the future of research through technology, trending topics, et cetera?
Oh, that's a good one. I think, really trying to make everything more sustainable, more clean, more energy efficient. I think that's where we're doing, where we're going. You know, in terms of course, fats and oils, which is my area of expertise, trying to get the same quality in our products while reducing the level of saturated fatty acid and of course, eliminating all trans fats. So, which is not an easy task, right? And, you know, sustainability is a huge issue, not only in the cocoa industry, like you probably know, but like fat industry, you know, the palm oil issue, plantations, and sustainability is not disappearing in the near future. So I think everything is going to be around those topics, really.
So what are some of the interesting projects you're working on right now that you can share with us?
Well, I kind of think I talked a little bit about the ultrasound one. That's keeping me super excited about novel uses of ultrasound, and also trying to understand, really the project is not specifically an ultrasound, it's more on trying to understand what are the factors that drive oil migration. So we're going to do a set of experiments with different fats and to evaluate what are the properties of fat that control oil migration in terms of solid fat content, crystal size, hardness, elasticity, what combination of parameters you need to have a low oil migration. And this is a collaboration with Dr. Farnaz Maleki from The Ohio State University. She's going to help with the modeling of oil migration. She's an expert on that area. So very exciting project that we have right now. The second one that is about to finish is about understanding these events that occur during sonication. The events are called cavitation. It's the formation of bubbles in the media. The project is about to finish, but we're hoping to submit another grant next year. And hopefully we'll get funded to continue. This is the one that is a collaboration between myself and a professor in the United Kingdom and another professor here at Utah State from the Mechanical Engineering Department. And the third one is a project on butter. So we're going to try to design butters that have better application in laminating dough. That's a big limitation of butter quality. Some butters cannot be used as laminating dough because they lose the water. So we're going to try to improve the quality of butter so that it can be used for lamination. So those are the three main projects that I'm very excited about, and that they are just, you know, ongoing in my lab.
That last one's really interesting.
I know, and we're excited. We're just going to, I was just talking before this meeting with a new student that is joining my lab, a new master's student. She's going to be working on that, so we'll see.
Do you find yourself intersecting with other departments, such as computer science, agricultural science, et cetera?
So mainly, you know, I have a collaboration with mechanical engineering right now. I have had a collaboration with animal science and plant soils and climate change. And there's a rangeland department here. A lot of my collaborations are through sensory too. We've done sensory in a lot of different products and help other departments to do sensory evaluation tests. So yeah, I think collaboration is also vital for research. You know, you get to tackle the same problem from different areas, from different points, and you have different visions and different interpretation of the results. So I think it's outstanding. Yeah.
Do you do a lot of sensory work at Utah State?
Yeah, we do quite a bit. We do a little bit for companies, not much because we don't have too much time. So I don't go after companies to come and do sensory, but we do quite a bit of research. Right now, everything stopped because of COVID.
Right.
But I do have, for example, one test pending from before COVID that as soon as we can, we'll finish it up. And I just finished a project last fall, on sensory, on fats and thresholds. So we're going to try to publish that in the next year or so. So yeah, we do maybe, I have probably out of five projects in my lab, I probably have one project that is sensory, always related to fat.
What inspires you most by your past and present students' achievements?
I think I mentioned this before, I really enjoy how they grow. Right, it's just amazing, right? And seeing them, and I enjoy, you know, when they become seniors, right? I enjoy asking them questions that I don't know the answers, right? And they know them, right? And just treating them that like a colleague because they are colleagues, and you know, asking them, okay, should we try this next? Or, no, maybe not because I tried something similar and didn't work. And okay, you know that. So just seeing how professional they become and how happy their employers are. And to me, that is a satisfaction that you don't get anywhere else. I really enjoy that and really motivates me, right? To, you know, it's tough to be a student and sometimes they're too new, they don't know what they're doing. So I try to give them an open environment that they can come and you know, brainstorm with me and come and complain if they need, and trying to give them the right advice to move forward and complete their degree.
Related to that, how do you see the current situation, virtual classrooms, minimal social interactions, or minimal physical networking, how do you see that affecting the food science students and the industry in general?
I think it's a big problem, and you know, especially with the labs, right? I think here at Utah State, we are lucky that we are a small program, so we can still continue doing the labs because we only have maybe 7 students per lab section. So, and we have, the classrooms are big enough that we can spread them and we can give them different research stations and keep them social distancing. So I think that's a benefit, and I really like that because I had to transfer my, like many others, I had to transfer my lectures into online last semester, and you know, it's not the same. And the lectures you can go by, right? I mean, the students are, you know, they can do their own homework and they can learn with a lecture online and come and ask questions. But the labs, there's no replacement for hands-on. There's no replace. You cannot learn on virtually what you learn in the lab, the mistakes that you make and getting dirty. And so I hope this ends pretty soon.
Do the students take you seriously while you're teaching in your pajamas?
Probably not, right? The secret is to turn off the camera.
Yeah, I know. My boss doesn't appreciate that either, so.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to plug or advertise here? I mean, we'd love to hear what you've got going on, if you've got anything.
I think we cover most of it. I like to highlight again the Chocolate Factory. We're very proud of that. This year, we had the first time in the summer, we had one food science student doing an internship. We had also a marketing student doing an internship to manage our website and our social media. And also we had, we have a cafe attached to the factory. We had a culinary arts student doing an internship. So, you know, I want to highlight that the factory was created for the students and for research, and we're really fulfilling these two missions. And of course the community outreach as well. So we're very happy, even though we're pretty new, we're happy how these things are going and how the students are really benefiting from this great facility.
Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today. Again, my guest has been Dr. Silvana Martini from Utah State University.
Thank you, Eric.
This has been another episode of PMCA Research Chat. Please subscribe and like us on your podcast service. Check us out at pmca.com, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.